curious, don't you think, that for the fourth week in a row, we have a passage from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, a passage which once again speaks about the Eucharist. Today, we are reminded to remain in Jesus, the bread of life. For some reasons, the church in its wisdom wants us to hear this theme over and over. Because today, this Eucharistic theme is shared with readings about wisdom. Perhaps we are invited to seek and find wisdom through the bread of life, through the Eucharist. Listen again to the words from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house, spread her table, and offers her food and drink. And so in Proverbs, we are offered the image to eat God's wisdom. And then in today's letter of Paul to the Ephesians, we are warned to be, not to be fools, but to seek wisdom. As Paul states, brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Sadly, Paul's words are true. Evil does exist in our world and even in our church. As we learn this week with the release of the report from the Pennsylvania grand jury, serious clergy abuse for decades occurred by priests who abused the trust placed upon them, by adults, adolescents, and children alike were wounded. And so we are, as church, wounded. We are a people of faith seeking for the spirit of wisdom to lead us beyond the abuse, the scandal, the wounds that have once again infected and afflicted our church. One of the problems in our church, we know, is the hierarchy. Some of the hierarchy have not adequately been accountable, nor as collaborative with the lady as they could be and should be. But let me also say, the vast majority of the church are the laity, men, women, and children such as yourselves. You are the church, no more, no less than any member of the hierarchy. And while you may have not certain degrees of authority, you nevertheless have responsibilities in your vocations, whether single or married. As Catholics, we believe and belong together. We are in this struggle against evil, seeking wisdom in our church together. And I like to think this is the way which the spirit of wisdom is pointing. Certainly, since the Second Vatican Council, there have been changes and developments in the laity gaining more authority. But as recent events in our archdiocese, in the sixth diocese in Pennsylvania reveal, the structures of authority have not been adequately held accountable, and has been revealed painfully this week, and indeed throughout this summer. Allow me to share the words of one parent, a relative of mine who has personally been affected by the abuse of clerical abuse. In an email a few days ago, this woman, a leader in her own parish, wrote, I have permission to write, to reveal this to you, quote, while it is honest to share that you too have the same feelings, we want to be heard. We have choices to be somewhere, to complain. We want a conduit for our feelings. We want solutions to the church's lack of accountability. We want to share our anger at the bishops. We want to target our fury that priests were moved around by informed bishops. We have prayed and remained faithful as the church, admonished and removed the guilty. We have endured the media as newspapers, books, movies, and TV outlets revealed the horror. We tolerated the response as bishops laid out the mea culpas and the promise to do no more harm. Nevertheless, right before our eyes and hearts the recent exposure and resignation of a revered American cardinal, McCarrick, snapped the wet towel at our hearts. It shocked and hurt. How could this beloved man have been a betrayer of goodness and have the sleight of hand to appear to be what he was not? And now, one more time, your parishioners, your flock, has been fooled. Once again, the people of your Washington diocese have been shocked with the new truths. Our knees shake. We are wobbling, weakened, not strengthened by our faith. We, as part of the faithful, have read and learned and have been inspired by the martyrs who have died by the sword for their faith. Are not the current faithful undergoing similar deaths as they return to the church for daily mass, attend weekly mass, receive the sacraments from baptism to the sacrament of the sick, which takes us from birth to death as a way of salvation? These faithful who continue to believe and have not been sideswiped by erring evil priests and aloof hierarchy, are not these faithful undergoing martyrdom by a thousand cuts? Unquote. Yes, my brothers and sisters, faith-filled parishioners of Holy Trinity Parish, our church is in a crisis, struggling against evil. But together we seek wisdom. And so I want you to know that here at Holy Trinity Parish, we are planning activities by which we may respond. The past several days, I have met with individuals and groups to discuss, to listen to the issues surrounding their experience. My fellow Jesuits and the pastoral leaders have begun a planning process, the first phase of which is to listen to you. As you will hear in today's announcements, you will be invited to express your concerns to us. What can we do? Already, parishioners have written to the Washington Post, have written to the Papal Nuncio, and have received responses. In this coming week, several of us will meet with representatives from the Catholic lay group, Voice of the Faithful. As you may know, Voice of the Faithful is a lay organization of faith-filled Catholics who organized in 2002 as response to the initial tsunami of sexual abuse crisis in the church. Their mission is to provide a prayerful voice attentive to the Spirit's wisdom, through which faithful can actively participate in the governance and guidance of the Catholic Church. And they support survivors of abuse, support priests of integrity, and shape structural change within the Catholic Church. This latter goal is what I'm inviting you, the parishioners, to consider. How can we do this together? Indeed, some bishops, including the head of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, have called for similar structural changes. In the meantime, we seek wisdom together. And one of the ways we may find wisdom is leading us forward beyond the crisis, beyond the evil, is and through the Eucharist we share together each time we gather at the Eucharist. For as Catholics, we do believe in the words of Jesus expressed this Sunday and the past three Sundays. For my flesh is true blood, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Yes, fellow believers in Christ and belongers to his church, through this community of faith here at Holy Trinity Parish, Christ remains. Despite the anger, we may find a place of trust. Despite the anguish, we may find a place for faith. Despite our church's failures, we may find a place to hope. And despite the shame of our church leaders, we may find a place for our spiritual growth. For indeed, the Eucharist, the center of our lives as Catholics, has, is, and will be a source that feeds our hungers for meaning and growth in our life struggles. The bread of life has and will continue to nourish us, and the bread and wine has and will become the body of Christ, not simply because of the rituals of a priest, but most importantly because of your faith, individually and collectively. For you and I together believe that we have been given a great and intimate eternal gift, a gift where we may find wisdom as Roman Catholics by believing and belonging to the body of Jesus the Christ.